Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ring the bell. We've done it again. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates to 4.875 fixed. Lower your monthly payment, get cash out, pay off credit cards, and best of all, make no mortgage payments for 2 months. Lock in this incredible 4.875 rate and get your cash in as little as 14 days. Visit goldenoaklending.com today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
5.81 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
With the 12th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Dallas Cowboys select Tyler Booker, guard, Alabama.
Boo!
Don't start that.
Every single year, it is usually the same thing here on the Friday after the first round of the NFL Draft. That is not how we actually feel, or myself. I'll speak for myself until Bobby Belt gets on the mic. He is our Cowboys insider. I'm Sean Troop. We got Peyton and Aiden in the back. We are live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Choppy will be back on Monday from the Italy honeymoon and vacation. And Tyler Booker, the offensive lineman that many Cowboy fans did not want position-wise, has joined America's team. Bobby, take us inside the War Room, Ford Center at the Star in Frisco for the way this all played out.
Yeah, this is it is a sexy pick. Actually, it's the opposite. It's not a sexy pick. It is a good pick. This is a good player, and they ended up with this pick because they didn't get Tet McMillan. So Tetaro McMillan was their top target. Everybody you talked to around the team leading up to the last week was like, yeah, we're all just really hoping that it's McMillan. They were worried about three teams. They were worried about Jacksonville. They were worried about New Orleans. They were worried about a team trading up. And the team they were specifically worried about trading up, I think, was Denver. They thought Denver might come up and jump them and try to get McMillan.
Did any of you foresee, did any of the mocks consistently have Carolina? Because this felt like it hit out of the blue.
Carolina consistently for the last 3 months was one of those teams where they had the same player mock to him every single time, and it was Jalen Walker from Georgia. And I think that's because people didn't know what to do with Carolina. Yeah. Nobody had any clue. I mean, look.
And I felt like we did a bad job of speculating that they could have gone wide receiver there because you're still trying to help Bryce Young.
Sure.
Who are the weapons?
Yeah. And I mean, they clearly just swung and missed on Jonathan Mingo a year ago, 2 years ago. And so they felt like, I mean, that was an investment they banked on being there for a little bit that now they don't have.
DJ Moore already gone to Chicago.
Yeah. So it's something where it makes some sense. It's just usually we heard buzz about it, or we would have heard some sort of connection. There was really nothing. And they were trying. They were one of the teams that was really looking to trade out. And I think they entertained it. They looked around, found they didn't like it. And then obviously they take McMillan. But as soon as McMillan got taken by Carolina, there was three picks remaining until Dallas was up. And I think they at that moment were like, we would like to bail. We want somebody to call. Let's hope somebody calls, comes up for it. They sat back and they got a call from Houston late in the process.
Because Nick Harris did a nice job earlier in the day of summarizing the Houston deal that they had made to maybe make another deal. It felt like, according to Nick, and he was right, Houston could be a trade player.
Yeah, and so Houston was coming up pretty far. They'd be coming up from 25 is where they were at. So 25 to 12, you're dropping like further down 13 spots than you were originally picking at 12. And so that's a big ask. And a lot of their compensation, I think Nick reported, was about future compensation. So it was not for this present draft where they're actually giving you capital to try and move up for this year. And Dallas obviously is a team that needs assets now, and they need things right now. And so I think the Cowboys felt like they were being lowballed a little bit, and they kind of went back and forth for a little bit. I think they got Houston to concede to a little more, but then...
And Houston's pick would have been where if you dropped down?
25. Yeah, you're dropping far down. You're going down.
And you have to feel like a combination of Walter Nolan, of a receiver, and Booker were going to be there, right?
At 25?
Let's say Houston gave you what you wanted, and you went down to 25. What do you think would have happened?
Well, at 25, so I think some of the names that they were kicking around when they got down to that point, or when they got to their pick, I think they thought, all right, we have some guys generally graded the same. So that's Booker, that's Nolan, Walter Nolan from Ole Miss. That's Matthew Golden, the receiver from Texas. Emeka Egbuka, receiver from Ohio State. Like, I think these are some of the names you're talking about. Ended up gone by 25. So, I mean, I think for Dallas, they probably felt like, we need more capital right now to be willing to drop that far. Now, they still probably would have had somebody that they really liked that's close. Because, I mean, Steven said last night in the post-draft press conference, they're 14th or 12th or 14th picking today. He said that they have way more than 14 players right now that they like. Like, he's confident somebody's getting to them right there. And I think he's right. I think they've got a lot of people that could get to them. But... that was a significant drop that they weren't willing to do. And so when it got down to it, the Cowboys essentially had a bunch of players grouped together that were all really tight. We've heard this a lot, that players 10 through 40 for most of these teams right now are really closely graded together, more than they've ever been before. Nick said it yesterday that he's got like over 100 players graded with 1 through 3 grades because there's so many second and third round type players in this draft. And so... when they were at that spot, you had Tyler Booker from Alabama as one of the players that was graded near the top for them, Texas receiver Matthew Golden, Walter Nolan, who we just referenced, Texas A&M defensive end Shamar Stewart was probably in that conversation, Georgia linebacker Jalen Walker. Like, those are some of the guys you're talking about. So when it came down to that and they're all graded the same, I think the Cowboys just said, all right, we need tiebreakers then. Let's look at the secondary things. If these players are all kind of the same, we feel like, what are the secondary aspects of it? And I think when they went through their checklist of what's most important to us, and they're going culture, and we want to improve the run game, and oh gosh, we want somebody who loves football and a leader, and a number of those things, Booker is so far ahead of all the other guys there that at that point, I think it became easy where if we're not trading out and McMillan's not there, it's easy. Room is unanimous. It should be Tyler Booker. And that's what they did.
If you listen to yesterday's show, you will know that I was more in support of offensive line than many other people.
Wow.
I think offensive line is the easiest and number one way to control a football game. I'd rather have Dak Prescott throw with a better offensive line to lesser weapons than have better weapons and not have the offensive line. Look at the Chicago Bears last year. They had all the fun, fancy, cool weapons. But as Bill Belichick and friend of the show Michael Lombardi kept saying all year, you can't block. Ben Johnson, as soon as he went there, the first thing he did was build up front. And I hearken back to the days, Brad Sham, of what we just saw with Cowboys retiring over the past month, when it felt like Dak could drop back and have all day to throw, and Zeke Elliott had gaping lanes because of Zach Martin, Tyron Smith, and Travis Frederick. The Cowboys have been a soft football team, okay, who have lacked identity. The number one way, in my opinion, to start building an identity is offensive line. Brian Schottenheimer has been talking about that throughout the entire offseason. So to me, I'm never going to complain if you go offensive line up front. Now, do you want to guard at 12? In most instances, no. I want a sexy left tackle. Then I want a right tackle. And then we can talk about guard. And they're not even talking about position flexibility with Booker, that he's just going to go ahead and play guard. And he doesn't have fantastic athleticism, which Bobby is going to break down in a second. But you want to protect your investment at quarterback. You want to go ahead and make up for the fact that you may not have the best weapons to throw to. Then you need more time. You need to go ahead and reestablish the running game around here. And that's why I'm always fine, and I am fine with O-line. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I know the type of player he is. That's what Bobby is for. We got Broadus, we got Walter, we got Nick Harris. But I'll steal from Mike Fisher here. In executing the plan, the philosophy of what they want to do, this is it.
Yeah, I mean, they checked their box. This is not a flawed process. Like, if you just want to talk about the process of how they came to picking Tyler Booker, if you don't want to draft an offensive lineman there, I understand that as a criticism. You say, I don't want that position. Just like, for instance, I can really like Tyler Warren, but I didn't want them to draft a tight end. So to me, it's like, even if they would have picked Tyler Warren, I would have gone, that's a good player. That's not the position they need. That's not something they really need on this football team right now. So I understand if your criticism is, I didn't want to pick an offensive lineman, or I didn't want to pick a guard. I saw plenty of that on Twitter last night. But then I also saw a lot of people who were like, this guy's going to be a bust. This guy's, and it's like, all right, that tells me you just are unfamiliar with the player. Or you're,
and just unhappy.
Yeah, or just unhappy, because there are plenty of reasons. Last year when they picked Tyler Guyton, I had said at the time, I was like, this is a raw player. Like, I think I said the very next day, like, he's either not going to play consistently this year, or he's not going to play very well. Like, I mean, that's the likelihood. You're going to have growing pains here with him. There are no growing pains with Tyler Booker. That's it. And I'm going to be...
So the floor is super high.
Yeah, he is a...
When like, we talk higher about, floor than Guyton.
Yeah, when we talk plug and play, he is plug and play. He's ready to be an NFL starting offensive lineman right now.
And he's going
to
start here where?
Right guard. And so, yes. And so, I mean, you've got...
And before yesterday, when we were going through the exercise, the right guard was?
Brock Hoffman. And so, I think when you plug, and this is going to be this Tyler thing, I'm literally having to, when I say Tyler, I've had to pause three times so far this morning, just going like, wait, which Booker Guyton, like, have to pause and do that. So, that's great. I'm glad Tyler Biotish isn't here anymore. That would be really bad. But, no, he is a guy that is ready to play right now. In fact, I sent Aiden some stuff, some videos. So if you want to look on the fan cam, you'll be able to see some of the tape of just a cut up of him playing against Georgia and playing against South Carolina from last year. But this is what I written when I wrote up his scouting report. I had a second round grade on him, which we'll get into the details of that here in a sec. But bulldozer power in the run game. He's consistently generating point of attack movement. The power pops on his tape, both in his upper and lower body. You can see visible power in his strike. He's consistent with movement when driving defenders with his legs. He has pro-ready mental processing of stunts, twists, late defensive line shifts, picking up blitzers. No one is better on the interior in the entire draft class at being able to process the games that defensive lines try to run on offensive line. If you want to talk about picking up twists, stunts, blitzes, this dude is ready right now to wreck shop. And that's where he's really, really impressive. And I'll throw up a separate video later of just those plays. Although he is just average to below average athleticism, that's largely negated in pass protection by strong fundamentals and clean technique. He doesn't just get in the way as a blocker. He's a violent finisher on his blocks, always looking for work in pass protection. The negatives, he's not a great foot athlete by any means. He lumbers to the perimeter when pulling as a lead blocker. He appears heavy-footed at times when getting to the second level. He will occasionally miss his target in space and lunge, leading to awkward off-balance stumbles and run blocking. That's rare, but you see it. And the comp I had for him is Kevin Dotson from the Los Angeles Rams, who was a PFF All-Pro 2 years ago, got a big extension, $17 million a year. That's the type of player that he is. And Kevin Dotson's not a great athlete. But when everybody yesterday said, well, athleticism, that's a big part of being an athlete. It's like, can we be reasonable? Let's think about the position we're talking about. Guard, which is probably the position on the football field with the most below average athletes. You go inside a guard when you're kind of a lumbering, powerful guy. Yes. Do you want the guy who can pull as a great athlete or get to the second level? Yeah, you'd love it.
Yeah.
But the reality is that a lot of guards.
Is that really where the biggest knock for athleticism is with just you pulling? It's hard for me to judge that he has a lack of athleticism in these pass blocking reps.
Right,
because the play is processed and done in 2 seconds.
Well, and he is such a clean player in his technique that there's no stumbles, there's no issues with the movement. In fact, Aiden, we can go ahead and throw up the stuff on him with stunts and twists real quick. So you'll see it here on the fan cam. This is a video of him twist. So when defensive lines try to run games, I just want you to watch on this video.
Causes
the way,
a ton of confusion.
Yeah, the way that he has no issues picking it up and blocking it up and seeing it and processing it. So
look at this on the fan cam. Look at this tutorial here.
So you'll see him right there. Yeah. He's really strong. And that's the thing is that he's not a great athlete, but it doesn't totally matter because he sees it quickly. He knows where he's supposed to be. He gets in position. He's got clean fundamentals. He's a real technician at the position. He's ready to play right now. And that's the thing that's most exciting about it.
Let's hear from Brian Schottenheimer and Will McClay on what they saw on film.
We went through and worked him out and went through all the steps to figure out that he could do everything we needed him to do as an offensive lineman for us, as a guard. I mean, it's all there on tape. But he can do it all.
Yeah, I remember just him talking about the power, the lower body strength, the length, the power, the play style. Those were the words I remember him talking about and how they jumped off the film.
One of the best parts of this radio station and being part of the Dallas Cowboys, we get the exclusive access first. So the first phone call and the first interview before even the rest of the media with Tyler Booker, who looked ecstatic to be a member of the Dallas Cowboys. Hear from your brand new offensive lineman and brand new Cowboy with his first ever radio interview next on The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
The great Brian Broaddus is already up early this morning. He's working the phones. He texted us. Jerry says they're more adamant about running back early today. We will get to, I think it's okay for me to read that. I just did. So Broaddus, apologies if I wasn't supposed to, but I'm imagine Jerry said that in the post-draft press conference. We'll have all the day two targets for round two today right here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan, and of course the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network. Tyler Booker is your brand new Cowboy. The guard from Alabama is moving up front, and here was the call that gave him his life-changing news exclusively caught on The Fan.
Hey, this is Jerry Jones with the Cowboys. We're turning you in.
Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you so much.
Congratulations, boy. We're glad to have you as a Cowboy.
I'm glad to be a Cowboy. I'm glad to keep this O-line tradition. Thank you.
Okay, well, man, listen, we're proud of you. Congratulations. Tell you folks how proud we are of you. But here's your coach.
Will do.
Here's your head coach.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Tyler, Coach Shoddy, man.
What's going on, Coach?
Hey, man. Hey, listen, you blew us away in the process, brother. Just here's what we need. You just come here, be you. You kick ass. Welcome to the family. We are so excited. We just want that same dude every day. Be physical and do what you do, man.
Yeah, so you're going to get as long as you can listen to that. Whitney Houston, you was listening to that day.
Yeah, hey, no doubt about that, man. Hey, I want you to talk to our offensive coordinator, Clayton Adams. Hey,
okay.
Congratulations, man.
Yes, sir.
So fired up. You're a Cowboy, baby.
Yes, sir.
All right, hold on. Here's Coach Adams.
Okay.
Book, what's up, man?
What's going on?
Congratulations, brother.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm so excited.
I am so freaking fired up that you're coming, man. How about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys?
Let's go. Let's move the frickin' line of scrimmage now, huh?
Let's do it.
Here's Mr.
Yes,
Jones,
sir.
Okay?
Okay.
Your offensive coordinator is a true offensive coach lineman at heart. You know that, don't you?
Oh, yes, sir. I know that.
Oh, you know that. Okay, well, you know him, but you got a lot of backing. I'm an old offensive lineman. I'm an old offensive lineman, believe it or not.
Yeah, I believe it.
They always are the best looking. They're the smartest, and they own the damn team. So that's an offense.
Oh, definitely. Hey. Oh, yeah, best looking for sale. You should see my suit today.
All right. Hey, listen, good to have you here.
Yes, sir. I'm glad to be a Cowboy.
You have a lot of support in this room.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Okay.
I can't wait to get there and get to work.
All right, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
All right.
That could be the best secret audio first-round pick call I've ever heard. And his reaction was the definition of great TV. He was pumped. He was going crazy. I love what they did there in Green Bay, going through the hallway. Everyone was going by slapping the emblem of the team that just took him. And Bobby, this feels like a new regime pick. For all the talk about Mike McCarthy, and we'll get his thoughts on the selection along with other things coming up at 7 o'clock this morning, of Mike maybe wanting to be more involved, felt like he should have been more involved. This feels like Brian Schottenheimer and Clayton Adams with a stamp.
It does, because they're clearly on board in such a number of ways. And there's the Tyler Booker video you were talking about right there as he smacks the Cowboys logo.
Good job, Aiden. Good job.
Yeah, they're definitely, I mean, they're on board. They're excited about this pick. This is a guy they wanted. That's a guy they targeted. But I think it is, there was a little bit yesterday, I saw some people going like, oh, so this is coach's pick. We're back to letting the coaches pick players. No, like this is just unanimous. Like, they wanted McMillan. That's who everybody wanted. He didn't get there, but they were unanimous on this is our plan. And so this is somebody that everybody's excited about. But I think when you go down the list, like, just that call, you can break it down in ways that...
But it wasn't that Booker was a clear-cut number two. Trade down was probably the number two option. And then Booker was tied with a lot of people, and he won because of the intangibles.
Yeah, so guys, they had grades as to what kind of players they are. Their grades were, he was tied with a number of people. So the plan initially was, let's move back a little because we like a bunch of guys. We'll move back far enough just to where we can make sure we still get somebody we like that's in this group, but pick up some extra capital. They couldn't get anybody to play ball the way they needed to. So after that point, then they go to, like you said, the secondary things. And in the secondary things, Booker, I think, blew everybody away. Like blew out all the other players to where it was easy when they realized we can't trade, so it's Booker. But I think you hear him instantly there. The first thing he hits Jerry with is going to hold up that O-line tradition, which you know Jerry. Jerry does not typically grab the phone back to follow back up. So he hits him with that. He's clearly didn't sound nervous, sounded comfortable talking to Jerry, like dynamic, hits him with that instantly. First thing Schottenheimer says, you blew us away during the process. So that's talking about the process of January through April, basically. And Schottenheimer said when he got hired, Jane, I think it asked him, what do you want to be remembered by when you leave here? And he goes, well, hopefully a Super Bowl champion. He goes, but he said the main thing is I want to be remembered as somebody who created the best culture the history of sports had ever seen. So that's such a big thing that you can tell that was a massive tiebreaker for Shotty. And Clayton Adams sounding as fired up as he was, and he sounded legitimately excited and fired up. You know, all right, this checks a box for me, checks a box for Shotty. I know the personnel department's excited about him up and down. They all love the player. And so this is something that I think everybody's unanimous with. You heard you heard their Booker said when he said, come down here, can't wait to move the line of scrimmage. And he said, duo and all that S. So duo, okay, like that's going to give us a little tip. What does Clayton Adams' running game look like? Well, they're going to be running a lot of duo, which is the double team at the point of attack to kind of move the line of scrimmage. And so it's kind of a gap scheme. But it's something where this clearly is a pick that checks a lot of boxes for them. It was not their number one.
Yep.
They didn't get their dream, but they got a dream and one that they're very, very happy with.
All right. Let's hear the first official radio interview with Tyler Booker joining the draft show last night on 105.3 The Fan.
Offensive lineman Tyler Booker is on the line. Tyler, congratulations on a dream come true. Tell us what you're thinking at this point.
Thank you so much. And the thing that comes to mind is that, like, I'm blessed. Like, I'm so blessed to be a Cowboy. And I'm a football fanatic. Like, I love the game of football. So I used to grow up watching the Football Life. So I just remember watching all the Football Lives of how great the Cowboys were. And I'm excited to get to work and bring us back to where we used to be and to where we should be, America.
We heard you talk to the front office on the secret audio just a couple moments ago, and you talked about the tradition. What does it mean to you to add that tradition or add to that tradition now as a part of this team in Dallas?
It means everything to me. You know, it's just the way that I aim to further the winning tradition in Alabama. That's the same way I feel about coming to the Dallas Cowboys, and then especially being on a team and being a part of a brand so iconic, just as Alabama was. It's funny. Like my track record, I've been so blessed to be a part of like some of the best organizations in the world. Like I went to IMG Academy, one of the best high schools in the world. I went to Alabama, one of the best football programs in the world. Now I'm a Dallas Cowboy, like another one of the best sports organizations in the world. So like my journey is just very. I'm blessed, and I've done a lot of winning in my football career so far, and I'm ready to continue that.
Hey, Tyler, this is Tommy Yarsh. Congratulations, man. This is a team that, under new head coach Brian Schottenheimer, has made it very clear that they want to move up front and they want to run the football. What were those conversations like when you were going through the process with Brian Schottenheimer and Clayton Adams in terms of what they want to do in the run game and how they want to utilize you to have success there?
To my football IQ and just talk about how I talk about the game of football. Like I'm always talking about how I want to be at the point of attack, how I want to move the line of scrimmage, how I always want to be on an attack, and then they saw how fun I was and that they like it. And I just remember my visit. I really enjoyed it. Like I got a great vibe from them, and I knew that I kind of had a feeling this was going to happen. You never know on draft day, but this is what I was confident about, and I'm glad God saw fit me the Cowboy.
Hey, Tyler, I got to ask you. You know, we've heard the call, the secret call of the team, and you referenced there to Brian Schottenheimer that he needs to keep playing the Whitney Houston. What Whitney Houston song were you guys listening to?
So, I forget which Whitney Houston song. I wanted to say the one exactly. I told my parents as soon as it happened. So, my parents 100% okay. I want to dance with somebody. I remember now. I want to dance with somebody. It was funny because we're sitting there talking. It's like 7 o'clock in the morning, and like I got to talk over to Whitney Houston, but I loved it. Like he's just authentically himself.
Tyler, this is awesome, man. Congratulations to you. What a night. What was that draft visit like? And you've obviously been training here in Dallas. So what do you like about the area and how pumped are you to now be in DFW as your home?
I just love the area. Like I trained there this past
last summer I trained there, and then just being one of my close friends, Jackson Ford, he's actually from the area, so he showed me around, and then the training there for combine training too. Like, I just had a great time. Like, there's a lot to do around there. It's a really nice area. And then, to be completely honest with you guys, y'all have Punch's Barbecue, and that's some of the best food I've ever had in my life.
Nick Harris, Tyler, I actually went to Hutchins earlier today, so I think I manifested this. I literally went to Hutchins there about 1 p.m. today. Yeah, we'll have to do a story on you over at Hutchins. Tyler, I want to talk about your love for football, because I think it's very unique, even when you talk about guys that love football in this class. When you were in high school, you were living in Connecticut. You drove 90 minutes every day to go to high school to play at a really respected program in New Jersey at Bergen Catholic. Mm-hmm. And then you moved halfway across the country to go to IMG before you were even the age of 18. You have put so much into this game. You have done so much at the University of Alabama. Can you just describe your love for football and why it is as strong as it is?
Yeah, my love of football starts from before I can even remember. Like, my dad literally put a plush football in my crib. Like, as soon as I was born, and then I still have it to this day. And then some of my first memories are watching old Steve McNair highlights, because my dad was a Titans fan for a little while. And then just memories of me watching him play the college football video game and put me in the game. And just a lot of my first memories have to do with the game of football. And then I just start playing. And then my parents just kept me around the game. They saw how much I loved it at such a young age. They're like, we have to continue to push him and tap into this. And for that, I'm forever grateful for them.
Add them to Overshown, Ferg, Tyler Smith on the Cowboys All Interview Team. I mean, you can just hear it.
Yeah, and you can tell when people talk about, the leadership and the way he commands a room. Dane Brugler put in his draft guide. You saw a very low moment for Tyler Booker when Vandy beat Alabama last year. And Dane put in his draft guide that team captain, natural born leader, gets the most out of his teammates. But he had this quote from an NFL scout that he had talked to about Tyler Booker. He said, quote, he keeps everyone accountable in that locker room. After Bama's loss to Vandy, Book was the one who got everyone in that locker room back on track. And so this is a guy who had the complete command of the locker room. I had texted the Alabama offensive line coach, Chris Kapilovic, last night and just said, hey, tell me what you think about Book. He said he's a relentless worker, high football IQ, has tremendous power, elite in his preparation. And then this is the line that I think stands out and makes a lot of sense given what the Cowboys are trying to do now. He says, he's the best leader I've ever coached.
Wow. And how long has he been there at Bama?
He's been at Bama for a year, but he's been coaching at big-time college programs for 20 years.
Wow. That's a hell of a quote. And he has fantastic taste in music. Now, how did this get played between he and Shoddy?
So he said that we heard him say, hey, coach, as long as you keep playing the Whitney Houston. So the way he said it set up, I guess, was he was walking up to his office for the 7 a.m. meeting, and Shoddy was playing this in his office when he walked up.
I love this song.
It's a great song. And we read about, I'm trying to remember, what was the Dallas Morning News article? I think we read it while you were out. But it was the profile on, you know, Brian Schottenheimer and his family talking about how he's prepared for all this. And they mentioned his music taste is all over the place.
Yeah.
Like that his stuff will be, he's got Kendrick Lamar, but he's got Whitney Houston, and then he's got Johnny Cash, then he's got like Boy, but like he's got just crossing over everything, and apparently Tyler Booker gets down with it.
What else happened around the Cowboys in round one last night? Did Jacksonville or Cleveland make the Travis Hunter mistake? The Giants have a new quarterback, and did Howie do it again? Just getting started with the Loaded Friday edition, one of our favorite shows of the year. Glad you're waking up and being part of it right here on 105.3 The Fan.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's MensTeaClinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, everything.
From first steps to first dates.
From all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
With the first pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Tennessee Titans select Cameron Ward, quarterback, Miami.
And we're off. Good morning, Metroplex. Round one post-draft recap here on Sean and RJ Choppy. We'll be back on Monday, but we have the football horse, Bobby Belt, carrying us to 10 o'clock right here on your home of America's team. We got Peyton and Aiden in the back, responsible for all the draft audio, all the draft video on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Let's run through the rest of the round before we get to everyone's reaction. Not just some upset Tolos, but the entire world's reaction to Tyler Booker on the Cowboys at 7 o'clock. Cam Ward, number one, to the Titans. And then the biggest storyline, well, I guess Shador is, but for me, the biggest storyline of round one, a real storyline, Travis Hunter and the trade between Jacksonville and Cleveland.
And it's so stunning. It's like, wow, this popped up out of nowhere. Well, not quite. This trade was finished 18 days ago.
Wow.
Mike Silver, who's come on the show before, longtime NFL columnist, he wrote a breakdown over at The Athletic that just dropped this morning. April 7th, James Gladstone, the new 34-year-old GM of the Jaguars, hired from the Rams, the less need F them picks era, and Andrew Berry, the Browns GM, worked out the terms of the trade with two contingencies 3 weeks ago. First, it would only be completed once the Browns were on the clock, and only if the Titans or another team via trade selected Ward with the first pick. Otherwise, the Browns were going to scrap the trade and take Ward themselves. And secondly, each team's owner had to approve the deal. They both got it. They both approved it. What's wild about this whole thing is this feels very Nico Pelinka-like almost. They kept it so quiet. Travis Hunter had talked to the Jaguars one time during the process. He talked to them at the combine and that was it. Once they had made up their mind that they were actually going to make the deal to go get him, they didn't schedule a visit. They didn't go to a workout. They didn't do anything to set up a meeting with him.
You don't think Travis knew this was happening?
This article says Travis had no idea this was happening.
Wow.
And it's something where when he got there, their plan apparently, the Jaguars, is to play him at receiver to start. They are going to let him do two-way stuff, but while he gets his feet wet, they're going to start out at receiver. So, you know, Trevor Lawrence has a new weapon that he has there. But Tony Boselli got on the phone and told him, he said, we were coming after you from the beginning. And so they've apparently, Jacksonville has just silently sat on this. And Cleveland, quiet, they kept it amongst themselves. But this is a deal that was done 3 weeks ago, and Jacksonville has had every intent of going up and getting Hunter the whole time.
So my first reaction is I texted my Browns buddy, and I was like, you okay with this? Because my first reaction is, oh, man, Cleveland's moving off of the next Deion.
Yeah.
A generational player. It better be made worth your while. Well, then the storylines that I read later in the night was the questioning of Jacksonville paying too much. So we have Cleveland moving off of something we may never see again and haven't seen since primetime and probably a better receiver. Are you sure you want to do that versus did Jacksonville overpay? And my first thought, Bobby, was, is Jacksonville valuing Hunter as a receiver number one? Because All we've kept hearing is Jacksonville offensive predictions. Genty, then Tetero McMillan. So they clearly wanted to help Travis. So I was like, huh, do they think of Travis Hunter, like Brian brought us, as a receiver first and corner second?
Yeah, and that's exactly where Silver says they've got him as the primary to start out, is that they think he's ready right now to contribute as a receiver. That they know he wants to do two-way stuff, and they plan on doing that. Gladstone, when he got on the phone, said, guess which side of the ball our head coach comes from? And so they said the plan is to use him as receiver at receiver as he eases into his pro career while creating a package of plays featuring him as a cornerback. Eventually, if all goes well, his defensive load could be increased. But again, this is also something that Travis Hunter made it very clear. He could be talking S, but he basically said, if I can't play both ways, I just don't want to play football.
Right.
And if he's going to talk that way, again, it's like, wouldn't you want to talk to him and make sure he's cool with your plan and you're cool with his plan completely and get that all sorted out before you give up all this capital to do this?
Right. It's like not talking to Luca.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, the return here is...
Let's talk about the capital.
It's sizable. Yeah. So this is Cleveland traded their first round pick, their fourth round pick, and their sixth round pick. So that's the second pick, and then 104 and 200. And Jacksonville sends over pick 5, pick 36 in the second round, pick 126 in the fourth round, and then a first rounder next year. I don't think that's that ridiculous of a comp. So if you really believe Travis Hunter is who he is, I don't think it's that ridiculous of a comp.
I don't either. I'd be scared if I was Cleveland. I'd be a little bit nervous that I gave up a rock star.
And they tried to trade back again. That, like, because they're just...
Which I get.
Andrew Berry recognized they're so hamstrung by the Deshaun deal. They just need as much young, cheap talent as they can get.
So Travis Hunter is a Jacksonville Jaguar. Good for him. I'm rooting for the kid. He seems like a great kid.
Everything you hear from scouts is that, even though there's bad chatter about Shador, it's the opposite, that Travis Hunter is everything he seems to be.
They didn't seem, unless I missed it, Pepe, they didn't show Travis's girl last night. They didn't want that storyline out there again, if they're still together. Abdul Carter to the Giants at 3. Will Campbell, we knew Patriots were going offensive line. They went with Will Campbell with the short arms out of LSU at 4.
Yeah, and I mean, best offensive lineman in the draft to me pretty easily.
He looks the part.
Yeah, he's a really good player. And that's it sounds like they're going to play him at tackle, even with the shorter arms. I think we've seen better success for shorter arm tackles in recent years. Rashawn Slater's a big primary example of that. But yeah, I mean, they had, the night before the draft, they'd like flown down to Baton Rouge. They were clearly really dialed in on him.
So the Browns move down and take Michigan defensive tackle. Don't swerve off the road, Tolos. Mason Graham at 5.
Yeah, and Mason Graham was consistently considered like a top 5 or 6 player in this draft. I don't think Dallas loved him. Like, I think if he would have slid down to 12, I think they liked Walter Nolan more. I think Walter Nolan was their top defensive tackle.
Pete Carroll stays old school and gets Ashton Genty to the Raiders at 6. Armon Membu goes to the New York Jets at 7, the offensive tackle. Tet McMillan then breaks. Oh, as everyone from Arizona was hitting me up, I got a lot of Arizona interaction yesterday. Stop calling him Tet. ESPN came up with that nickname. It's not
he
Tet.
Hates it.
He hates it.
Which is funny. Last night while we were on the draft show, Vach kept calling him Tetaroa. And then as soon as he got picked by Carolina, he was like, you know, Tet McMillan. He's like, and I'm going to start calling him Tet. He's not here anymore. I don't care.
So McMillan breaks the heart of Cowboy fans, going to Carolina at 8. Kelvin Banks, a lot of Longhorns off the board. Kelvin Banks goes to the Saints at 9. A lot of chatter about what the Saints were going to do. This is the first no Shador, well, I guess probably the second no Shador spot after Cleveland did not take him at 5. Kelvin Banks, Kellen Moore wanting to build up front with the Longhorn. And then a big stunner at 10 with Ben Johnson picking his tight end.
I don't have any clue what he's doing. Like, this was the first one that we all sat there and went, does he know what he's doing? Is Ben Johnson maybe an idiot? Did you guys just get Nico'd over here? It's obviously not that bad, but man, he's putting something on the line here. So they draft Colston Loveland, the tight end out of Michigan. I didn't know of any team. I didn't see a single mock or a single analyst. I didn't find anyone that had Colston Loveland ahead of Tyler Warren out of Penn State. Not a single one.
Have Loveland as a first rounder?
No. Loveland was like play. I'd have to look, but Loveland's like player 27 or something for me. He's not, and Warren was 7 or 6 or 7. And so, I mean, no, it's not even close for me. But I didn't know anybody in the NFL who had Loveland above Tyler Warren. Apparently, we heard some chatter last night. Ben Johnson said he reminds him a lot of Sam Laporta and the success that he had with Laporta in Detroit. But, man, this is a juxtaposition that they've set themselves up for, where it's like, okay, now you have put yourself on the line here, because this is a very clear, this was the better player according to everybody else, so you better be right.
There was word that San Fran loved Walter Nolan, who I thought the Cowboys may use as the backup plan. They go with Mikel Williams out of Georgia, the edge.
Yeah, and that's a guy that just the media and fans are not going to see him the same as the NFL does. The NFL loves him more than everybody else does. I talked to somebody recently who had said, look, he was about 80% healthy at max his entire last season. He's 20 years old. He was a dominant force as a 19-year-old. Like, it's projectable. There's a lot to really like about him that most people are missing.
Tyler Warren goes to Indianapolis at 14. And then let's get to the rest of the NFC East. By the way, Amarion Hampton goes to, no surprise, greater, tough physical football. Jim Harbaugh in L.A. with the Chargers. Matthew Golden making Tolos even more upset by going up there and getting the standing O from the Green Bay crowd. Matthew Golden, finally a receiver taken by the Packers in the first round. And then the NFC East starts to make some noise, Bobby. The New York Giants trade back into the round at 25 for the speculation that we covered yesterday. Jackson Dart is the new prospect. It is not Shador Sanders. Washington takes the Oregon tackle, and then old Howie gets on the phone with Kansas City.
Yeah, so we'll start with Dart. I think Jackson Dart's a really bad player. Like, I don't see an NFL quarterback at all when I watched him. Brian's a little higher on him than the rest of us are. He was like, no, I think that's a guy who's got some upside. But to me, and Wolchuk kind of saw it similarly, that's a guy who just, he can't process at all. And he gets duped really easily by disguise coverages. I just don't think, he's got a really slow delivery. It's this big windup. I don't think that he's very good. I think I would rather.
John Gruden doesn't think he plays very smart in terms of taking hits.
I watched
his entire Gruden quarterback film.
I would rather have Joe Milton. Like, if you told me Joe, and that's not like, I mean, it sounds like I'm kind of like, but I mean, Joe Milton, I'd rather have the traits that Joe Milton has than Dart. The pick, yeah, look, Josh Connerly for Washington, solid tackle from Oregon. He's somebody who I was told could sneak into the first round, so that it made sense. Philadelphia flipping a spot to get Jahad Campbell. Everybody was very upset on the draft show last night. I was the only one who was, I guess, different over it, because they all really love him. Jahad Campbell, to me, there's a lot of really great upside.
Everyone says he's a dog. He's a dog.
Look, he can rush. He's a great athlete. There's some stuff to really like about him. He is consistently on tape a guesser. And a guesser at linebacker is death to me. And I very rarely have ever seen somebody go from a guesser at college to a good player at the NFL. So Jahad Campbell terrifies me.
You had him where?
I had Jahad Campbell in the second round as like an upside pick, but no, I would not have picked him in the first.
And Washington?
Yeah, Washington, Josh Connerly, the offensive tackle from Oregon. Good player. I thought they were going to go defense, but I mean, I guess they're getting more stuff to protect Jaden Daniels and all the investments.
What does Micah McCarthy and Mick Shea think about what the Dallas Cowboys did, along with your Tyler Booker reaction on the Franklin Franco injury attorney text line on the home of the Cowboys next?